Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Monday morning edition of Today's Issues on AFR. Aren't you looking forward to another day, another week of work and labor and giving your all? I'm just kidding. Of course we are, right?
Giving 110%.
Work is a gift from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
It is.
Unless it breaks your back, I guess, in case you wonder whether it's a gift sometimes. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
We got a lot to talk about today. We do thank you for joining us, and I was just teasing because God does bless work. And there is a reason why we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we have a day of rest on
And our forefathers worked Saturday.
I'm just glad our forefathers said, no, we're going to have 2 days of rest.
Yes, that's right. Now, and some people, I know someone who has a dairy farm.
6 days a week.
And they're 7 days a week. You've got to milk the cows every day.
Yeah.
I know. For a lot of people, do what you got to do, yep. Right? But for the majority of America, Monday through Friday, yep. and then enjoy the weekend off. Again, that's not always the case. We got a lot to talk about, a lot going on. Let me just add one word of thanks to everyone last week.
Amen.
Who made a donation.
Amen.
And a gift to American Family Radio. We had a record-breaking share-a-thon of $2.7 million. Mm-hmm. And that's a commitment for 6 months. And a record number of gifts, 13,000.
Yes.
Gifts, different gifts were given. Mm-hmm. So you may say, well, that should set you up for the next 10 years, right? No. No, it costs a lot of money, folks, to run a radio network of 181 stations. We are not in debt. This money lets us continue to operate in the red and to go forward. And
in
maybe
the black.
Maybe,
operate
yeah,
in
I
the black.
Said red?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. That is a major distinction. I'm not thanking you for allowing us to operate in the red. I'm thanking you for allowing us to operate in the black. Mm-hmm. And what's the Bible say? Oh, no man, nothing save love, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, thank you. Fred, you want to add anything to that?
No, and it's always one of the blessings of Share-a-thon is that we get to hear those testimonies from our listeners.
Yeah.
That, to me, is so rewarding and so encouraging to know that every day. Because we sit in rooms with microphones. We don't see our audience. But when you get to hear those testimonies and you get to hear the impact of AFR programming on mm-hmm. so many lives out there, and you mentioned the pledges, over 13,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a record. So not only are we doing something, but our influence is expanding, too, and I'm just so encouraging for us.
Yeah. And I think our folks are committed to supporting AFR because they've been blessed.
Amen.
And also our folks want to see AFR go into other communities mm-hmm. so that it can continue to educate and inform the Christian community and also, you know, lead people to Christ,
Amen.
Change their life forever.
Yeah.
And I mean literally forever, as the Bible says.
That's right.
So, again, appreciate everybody making a special effort last week. And I know a lot of you give sacrificially, and we just want to acknowledge that, want to thank you. And above all, we want to thank God for his blessings on our ministry. All right. Thank you, everybody, who Jim Stanley and his team at start naming people, then I'll leave.
You Jim, leave some out. Jim
Shepard. Jim is the general manager for AFR.
Right.
And his team did a wonderful job. And Jim Shepard and his team in the information and technology department did a great job. Right. Keith Gann, data processing. Again, I'm going to start naming people.
You know, guys in engineering. Who
yeah. Shane Rakestraw there.
Yeah, all of them.
All right.
You start naming them, you leave them out.
You leave somebody out, somebody's feeling gets hurt. And then you learn about through the grapevine, hey, I heard you on the radio today. You forgot to mention.
Yeah.
You forgot to mention this person and that person. I think you need to go back tomorrow and mention them.
Yeah.
They're hurt. And then you didn't mean to hurt anybody, right?
Right.
But it just happens. All right, Fred.
Well,
whose feelings are hurt out there in the world that we need to talk about?
Well, I'll tell you. One of the big stories on the weekend, guys, of course, was this shooting at a synagogue in Southern California, Poway, California.
Where is that, by the way?
All I know is it's Southern California. Obviously, not a large community. But a 19-year-old man, his name is John T. Ernest, is the suspect. He is in custody. And walked into this synagogue. They were holding a service at Passover, the last day of Passover, and opened fire with an automatic weapon. One woman was tragically killed. There were three people who were wounded. Now, the reports that are coming in is that apparently the gun jammed, and that's the Lord's doing. I'm for sure of that. Anyway, the suspect tried to escape. There was an off-duty, I think, Border Patrol officer that actually shot at the car with the suspect driving away. But, and this is another strange part of this story, the suspect with a cell phone calls 911 while he's driving away and says, basically, I'm the guy who did it, and pulls over. The cops are chasing him. He gets out with his hands up and surrenders. And so it ended that way. So it's just another case. We've had New Zealand now. We've had Sri Lanka last week. We've had other attacks on other synagogues in this country. And what's behind all of this? A lot of people have a lot of different ideas. Sarah Sanders was on Fox and Friends this morning. And, of course, the president made mention of this and called the rabbi at the synagogue there in California. She, expressed disgust like so many people. What is it that leads an individual to go into a place of worship where people are unarmed, they're not hurting anybody in there, and just simply open fire? Here's cut number three, Sarah Sanders.
A truly horrific thing that took place over the weekend, and something that should never happen anywhere in the world, certainly not in America, certainly not driven by this type of hate. Nothing could be, I think, a worse thing to happen than something like this in a place of worship. And the president has condemned this type of hatred, anti-Semitic behavior. He spoke to the rabbi over the weekend. He also spoke with the governor and the mayor and offered condolences on behalf of the country. And our hearts go out to these people. And again, this should never happen in our country. Our hearts are broken as we see what's taking place.
Questions are always asked at, well, how do you stop this kind of thing? It's random. There's no pre-warnings about it.
You can't.
And that's the thing. I mean, people, more and more churches now have security people.
Right.
They're doing some checking, but this is a very small synagogue. There were only 100 people there. You don't have people, soldiers, police officers.
Did the media try to politicize this one? By that I mean, did they try to say that this guy's was influenced by President Trump's?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
You know how they try to do that,
right?
Mm-hmm. Now, I think we should be careful anytime something like this happens to assign a political culprit. Everybody feels like the need to, what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To say, well, this person did this, and the media loves not all the media, but a lot of the media, they love to try to find a tragedy like this happens. They love to try to find a Trump connection.
Well, they tried that in New Zealand.
Yeah, try to find a Trump connection. In other words, this is President Trump's fault because of his rhetoric or his actions or something like that. I'm just saying, whatever side you need to be on, you are on ideologically or politically, you need to be real careful when you start saying things like that, if you say them at all, because The person responsible is the person who did it.
That's right.
Now, whether they have a manifesto or a philosophy, an ideology for doing what they did, that is worthy of examination or being made public. But I just see that Christ Church New Zealand attack, they wanted to blame President Trump.
Some members of the media tried to blame his, talking about Islamic terrorism. Oh, President Trump must be responsible for whatever happened in New Zealand.
But see, those same people won't say that the Muslim ideology is responsible for what happened in Sri Lanka.
No, they won't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I'm just cautioning all of us to don't be so quick to assign political. We feel like we need to find a villain out there to assign the blame to, when first and foremost it's the people who did it. And as I say, it's fair game to examine their ideology.
Yes, and the fact of the matter
whether it's right wing or left wing, in the middle.
Because there are, and here's the thing, in an attempt to make sense of what we normally call senseless violence, and that's an expression we can talk about. But in order to make sense of things, we want to say, here are the forces that made this person do this. So people on the right, people on the left will look for those kind of things to try to understand it. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes people are evil, and it doesn't matter.
It does,
because there's lots of people who might be right wing or left wing, and they don't go and do these things. There are plenty of Muslims, there are plenty of Christians who don't perform acts of terrible violence. So you say, this particular person was so filled with hatred, his heart so twisted with evil, that he went and did this. But instead, what we try to do is make sense of that, because if you admit that evil exists and that's what motivated this person, then you've got to question whether or not I myself am susceptible to evil. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In trying to explain why someone would do this, we're oftentimes letting ourselves off the hook. We don't want to admit that there. Jesus says, if you're angry with your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. We don't want to talk about that. So we want to blame it on a political ideology.
Or the guns. Gun violence.
Yes.
As if the guns get up every morning, stretch, and go, I wonder who I can go out and kill today.
Right.
You know.
So that, to me, part of this is the move in the West away from God. And away from a Christian understanding of the world and human nature, leaves us with no choice but to try to explain, this person did this because of the ideology that I don't like.
We've talked about this before. What is the explanation of the Jews being a target? Like in the synagogue, for example, the synagogue in Pittsburgh, where, 7 or 8 people? Mm-hmm. Died. Why the attacks on the synagogues?
Well, there has been obviously this false statements ideology that's been out there for years that somehow the Jews control all the politics in the United States, that the Jews have lots and lots of money, and therefore they buy politicians.
To what end, though? So what was a lot of groups are by politicians,
right?
America, or try to. Mm-hmm. What's so special about the Jews? They're in a vast minority.
Well, I'm just trying to explain, the fascist movement, the Nazi movement in Germany. Mm-hmm. Adolf Hitler believed that because the Jews are scattered all over the world, that wherever they land, there's this kind of network of Jews that are powerful and have a lot of money, and they're trying to control the world. And then if you're a German who's in between, well, we understand is in between the two world wars after the Treaty of Versailles, they were just trying to destroy Germany. Mm-hmm. So if that's you have somebody in this country who, is having a hard time finding a job or whatever, maybe life hasn't gone.
Blame the Jews?
Trying to find out who's scheming against me. Well, it's society. well, who's in charge of society? It's the Jews. Let me tell you, this is prevalent. I'll go on websites sometimes and I like to read the comments. It almost doesn't matter what subject the discussion is about. At some point, someone's going to say it's the Jews.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, dude, we're not even talking about that. We're talking about this over here, and you're blaming the Jews for this?
That's what I'm asking. A lot of it seems illogical to me. I don't know where it comes from.
Go to the examples of the two Muslim women who have just been elected to Congress. What did they talk about? They talked about the Jews and the Benjamins.
Yes. Follow the Benjamins.
Follow the Benjamins. Everybody knew what they were talking about.
So a lot of people believe that, well, it's no secret that Jews are, do have a lot of influence in the financial world.
Well, for a long time, they were admittedly.
The media,
in
television.
In Hollywood. Very influential.
Banking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You'll see a lot of Jews. But that they use that to, anyway, I would just say that's to their credit.
Yeah.
Well, some people would say, well, God is blessing the Jews.
Yes.
You know, spiritually you would say that. But if you're looking for a villain, if you're looking for somebody, this is a long-standing trope that Jews are in charge and they are in control of the money and they're in control of Hollywood and they're in control of this. And so, therefore, my bad life is because society and behind society is the Jews are ruining my life.
That would explain it from a logical,
right?
Even though a logical explanation as to the anti-Semitism that exists is what you just described, and that's what Hitler basically promoted, right?
Yes.
I mean, he told the German people, "Hey, look, you know who's messed up our world here? It's the Jews."
Hitler hated the communists, and who? Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, right, were both Jews. He says, look at the founders of the communism, which wants to destroy our nation state, Germany, they were Jews.
So as evil as that is, at least there's a that's the reason he was able to rally the people against the Jews is because they became they were the reason for the suffering of the German people.
Yes.
Thus, they need to be punished, right?
We need to get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
Purge our nation. Purge Europe of the Jewish influence. Now, admittedly, this kind of dark, you know, sentiment sees Jewish influence where it probably doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the rationale.
But the other part of this is the biblical point of view, our biblical perspective, and that is this is spiritual.
That's right.
Right.
And that is sometimes when you go why some things don't seem to make sense is because Satan hates the Jews.
That's right.
Now I know there are people who don't believe in the Bible. They're laughing at that, or they're going, "Oh, that's ridiculous. That's Bigfoot stuff." No. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine if you don't want to believe it.
Right.
But let us talk amongst ourselves. Those of us who are Christian who do believe in the Bible. Mm-hmm. The spiritual aspect of it. Yeah, am I right about that?
You are absolutely true. God chose the Jewish people to manifest himself through the Jewish people. He selected Abraham. I'll create in you a nation.
Right.
And
the Jews.
I will bless those, you know, Jan, Markel, and others.
All the nations of the earth will be blessed because of
you. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. You read that. You know, I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you.
Right.
I mean, that's God selected those people. And
he has a covenant.
He has a covenant with the Jewish people. And no, I don't believe they have a separate salvation. They rejected Jesus, the Messiah. But I believe in Bible prophecy that someday they will come back to him.
Right.
Revelation talks
they
about
being the Jewish people.
The Jewish people. Revelation talks about 120,000 Jewish witnesses. During the tribulation, 144,000.
Yeah. Cut them short, 20, Fred.
Yeah, 12,000 from each tribe. I was bad on the math.
Yeah.
But there will be a tremendous revival amongst the Jewish people. It's coming someday. And Satan hates them because God has chosen the Jewish people to manifest himself and to show himself to the world.
Right.
You know, you go to Israel a lot, too.
Yeah.
Tel Aviv, people don't, if you go to Tel Aviv, first thing you say, my goodness, this is a big modern city.
Right.
Look at all the high tech, the medical investigations and scientific research. Israel's on the cutting edge of medical technology.
Right.
How do you explain that, that tiny little blip of geography there? You can only explain it because God is blessing them.
Yeah, and the percent, I forget the numbers here, but the percentages of those who Nobel Peace Prize winners, all these kind of things. It's extraordinary.
Yes. So when you compare the achievements of the Jewish people in comparison to their numbers, well, it's just, like you said, it's just extraordinary. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson. We thank you for listening. By the way, we failed to mention, if you want to watch the show, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues, and you can watch our show. We have cameras here in the studio. We're live broadcasting from our American Family Radio studios here in Tupelo, MS. We thank you for listening to AFR. And next story, Fred.
Yeah, since last we met, we had an unusual event occur in Massachusetts last Friday. We had a judge and a former court officer have now been charged, a judge, with obstruction of justice. What did this judge do? Well, back several months ago, she had an illegal alien in her court. Now, ICE, immigration people, were aware of that and came to the court to arrest this guy. And the judge says to the ICE agent, hey, just go downstairs and I'll send him downstairs when I'm through with him here. Now, here's the allegation is, the judge, after the ICE agent went downstairs, the judge says to the illegal, hey, come out the back door here. I'll let you out the back door. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was due to be deported.
Mm-hmm.
The judge, I'm going to help you escape from the ICE agent. So now she's been charged with obstruction of justice. Today, a bunch of prosecutors and public defenders in Massachusetts are going to hold a news conference, and they're going to file a federal lawsuit against U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement over its policy of arresting people at courthouses on civil immigration matters. Now, this is happening. California is doing this kind of thing, Chicago, sanctuary cities. But now you have the feds, the Department of Justice, has charged a judge for helping this illegal alien who is due to be deported escape. That's incredible.
Mm. Listen, I think this is going to end up in a place that leftists don't want it to end up. Because what's going to happen if you swap political parties and control of the country, and a Democrat sits in the White House, and et cetera, et cetera, I think you're going to have conservative states start to do the same thing. All right, well, we're going to be a sanctuary state on the matter of abortion. Mm-hmm. We don't care what the federal courts have said. We don't care what federal law is. We are going to be a sanctuary state. There won't be any abortions.
We're not going to obey here.
We're not going to obey. And so either we're going to come apart at the seams, or we may actually, ironically, go back to the original intent of the Founding Fathers, which was a separation of powers and a federalist view of the world. And we're just not going to allow Washington to dictate policies to the individual states. But that's not what the leftists intend.
No.
The leftists intend for the federal government to be the supreme power in the country only on matters that the left wants them to be.
So you had an illegal person appearing before a judge in what state?
Massachusetts.
In Massachusetts. And the ICE agent is there to arrest this person for deportation.
Right.
And the judge lets him go out the back door?
Yep.
The judge conspires to see how we can...
To obstruct justice.
Well, she should be. So that judge should be... you're saying that judge has now been charged with...
Yes, by the Department of Justice.
Good.
Yeah.
Good night. We'll be back in a moment with more of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The National Day of Prayer encourages us to love one another. The National Day of Prayer is Thursday, May 2nd, a day when people of faith across the nation gather for one important purpose, to pray. The American Family Association encourages you to meet at your city hall from 1220 to 1240 local time to pray for revival in America. let's pray together across the country. To find out more about the National Day of Prayer, visit nationaldayofprayer.org.
A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is an excellent way to provide yourself with guaranteed permanent income while at the same time supporting the American Family Association. Here's what one supporter told us.
I very much want to see God's word continue into the next generation. This is a way I can help AFA spread the truth and promote their biblical stand. My experience with the AFA Foundation continues to remind me that I have a small part in helping AFA in the battle for our nation's values.
Financial planning is essential to your family. A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is one way you can support AFA and the health of our nation. The planners at the AFA Foundation are here to help you do the most with your finances. You can call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345, find us on Facebook, or email foundation@afa.net. and learn whether a charitable gift annuity is right for you.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
San Antonio grounds Chick-fil-A. That story next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Nothing triggers a narrow-minded snowflake faster than Chick-fil-A. The left hates Chick-fil-A's values. The company, owned by devout Christians, closed on Sundays so staffers can attend church. In 2012, Dan Cathy, the chief executive officer, said he believed marriage is between one man and one woman. From that day on, a militant mob of gays declared war on Chick-fil-A. The latest battleground, San Antonio's International Airport. The city council voted to ban Chick-fil-A from opening a franchise. They accuse the restaurant chain of having a legacy of anti-gay behavior. But Chick-fil-A has never discriminated against gay employees or gay customers. So let's be clear. The only reason Chick-fil-A's been banned from the San Antonio airport is because the city council is packed with a bunch of anti-Christian bigots. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on AFR, American Family Radio. I'm Tim, here with Ed and Fred. Hey, just to put just to close up that story we were talking about before the break, was it a state judge in Massachusetts?
State judge.
Okay, a state judge in Massachusetts. The ICE agent is there to arrest and then deport, sort of the deportation proceedings for a person.
Who's in the country illegally.
Who's in the country illegally. But the person is appearing, I guess, before the judge for another matter.
Yes.
A potential criminal matter. The judge tells the ICE agent to go downstairs.
And I'll send them down.
And I'll send the individual down to you when we're through with him.
Yeah.
When the judge sends the ICE agent downstairs, then the judge says to the illegal, go out the back door.
Yeah.
So he can't arrest you.
Yep.
That's what happened?
And had somebody else in the court, a court officer, escort the illegal alien down to the back door.
And so now the judge is being charged with obstruction of justice. What? Mm-hmm. And man, have you ever heard anything quite like that, Ed?
I haven't. And these others in Massachusetts, prosecutors and public defenders and whatever.
They're going to hold a news conference.
They're going to hold a news conference and sue the federal government.
Yes.
To try to stop ICE from, I guess ICE has a way of finding out when someone they're looking for, who's mm-hmm. in the country illegally, mm-hmm. is in the state court system.
Yes.
So there must be some way that they're going to try to stop them from finding out.
If a Democrat is elected into the White House, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't end ICE, because that is the position of a lot of people within the Democratic Party.
Right.
Wasn't AOC said?
Oh, yeah. They're terrorists.
Disband them.
Basically, get rid of them.
Yeah.
So the Democrat Party basically doesn't believe in, for all practical purposes, understand me, they don't believe in borders. And so they don't. So why would you have a need for ICE?
Right.
If you don't believe in borders, what would be the purpose of ICE?
And if your position is, as you've called it, y'all come.
Yeah.
You know, if that's your position, whoever wants to come to the United States can come.
Right.
Then why have ICE?
Here's the other problem, Tim. And Ed and I were just talking about this in the break. The story that's not being told is the impact of illegal aliens now right across the country. It's not just the border communities. You have other communities. For instance, you have an increasing number of students in our public schools who can't speak English. They have to have special classes.
I know.
What about Medicaid money?
Yeah.
Is being spent up by people who are in the country illegally.
There's so many problems, and they're only going to get more pronounced the more people pour into our country illegally. And, of course, I think that the, quote, progressives hope that that happens. They want that to continue to happen. And we could get into the reasons why later. But we have a guest standing by, David Rubin. David is former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. He's the author of the new book, Trump and the Jews. And I wanted to have him on, too, to talk about what happened in Sri Lanka and the threat of Islamic Jihad worldwide. Mayor Rubin, thanks for being on with us.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you, Tim.
Are you in Israel today, or are you in the U.S.?
I'm speaking to you from Jerusalem.
From Jerusalem. Well, wonderful. Well, thank you for being on with us. What time is it over there, by the way? It's 3 in the afternoon?
No, it's evening.
Oh, okay.
Early evening.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on with us. Appreciate it. First of all, tell us about your new book.
Well, I wrote Trump and the Jews because I saw all of the name-calling and the the violence carried out against supporters of President Trump after he was elected. And I also noticed that people in the Jewish community in Israel love him and think he's doing a great job, while people in America, Jews in America, among the Orthodox Jews, they think he's doing a great job. Among all the other Jews, which is about 85 to 90% of the population, they're among his strongest opponents. So I found all this quite interesting, and I said I want to get at the facts. You know, I don't like name calling. I don't like names, people being called racist, and especially being called anti-Semitic. And I couldn't imagine how he could possibly be anti-Semitic. So I said, look, I'm going to explore the facts, I'm going to research, and I'm going to write a book about it. So that's how Trump and the Jews came to be.
You know, with President Trump, Mayor, he had such a public life for decades as a New York billionaire celebrity. He was never, that I'm aware of, accused of being anti-Semitic or anti-black or anti-Hispanic or in any way, shape, or form a bigot, as they like to call him every day now in the mainstream media. It was only after he was, all of a sudden, he's these things that they say he is all the time, these things I just mentioned. So the fact that he would be the left wing media would always say that he's anti-Semitic, and yet his son-in-law is a practicing Jew.
Right.
Am I right, Mayor?
Sure, you're certainly right.
Yes.
Look, he's everyone knows that President Trump is quite bombastic and quite loud and quite outspoken, and he much of what he has been able to accomplish is because he's a bit out of the box. And close, you know, I always say, you know, as one who's been in Israel 27 years, but who grew up in New York, I could tell you that it took a crazy New Yorker to accomplish the things that he's done, because he had the courage. You know, New Yorkers just do what they want to do. They don't.
Yeah,
you know, they're not afraid.
Yeah.
So that's President Trump, and you know, when you look at the things he's done, such as moving the American embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's sovereign capital, recognizing the Golan Heights as a part of Israel, recognizing that the PLO office in Washington needs to be closed, and also recognizing that you cannot support a Palestinian Authority when it finances terrorism and gives salaries to every terrorist. So that those are tremendous accomplishments on the part of President Trump. And it's time that the Jewish community look at those accomplishments and see them for what they are. And you know, unfortunately, the Democratic Party, with the trends of pandering to anti-Semites, that has to be ended. And, yeah, you know, if the Democrats don't want to lose a big part of their Jewish support, they better really get control of their house.
We're talking to David Rubin. David is former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. He's the author of the new book, Trump and the Jews. He joins us from Jerusalem. Fred?
Yeah, Mayor David. In about 5 weeks, the Trump administration supposedly is going to come up with its long-awaited plan for Middle East peace. Now, given all those things that you, the list that you went down of everything that President Trump has done to support the nation of Israel, is there concern in Israel that there might be a reversal here, that there's going to be this proposal for a two-state solution, or whatever the case may be? What's being talked about in Israel? Is there fear that there might be some kind of compromise now coming from the Trump administration?
Well, there is some kind of concern. There is some concern. I can't say that I'm very concerned. I know from all the reports that have come out that this plan does not include the two-state solution. It's, you know, we have heard from a variety of places that the two-state solution, meaning the creation of a Palestinian state or an Islamic terrorist state, which is really what it would be, in the biblical heartland of Judea and Samaria, the so-called West Bank, that's not in the cards. It's not in the cards. It's not in the plan. And if it was going to be in the plan, I would be very concerned. I've been speaking out very strongly and trying to get the word to the president that it would be a big mistake for him to have anything in his plan that would involve dividing the land of Israel, or, you know, handing over any parts of it, or attempting to pressure Israel to hand over any parts of the land of Israel to the Palestinian Authority. That would be a disaster. And fortunately, the chances of the Palestinian Authority accepting any plan that doesn't give them an independent state or sovereignty over Jerusalem, or at least part of Jerusalem, they see it as a non-starter. So I think that may be what's going to save us in the end, because they're not going to accept the plan. They've already rejected it, and they haven't even seen it yet.
Hey, you wrote an article, we're talking to Mayor David Rubin from Israel. You wrote an article about what happened in Sri Lanka. The headline, I don't know if you wrote the headline for your article, but it says 800 murdered or maimed in Sri Lanka. And then it says terrorism is not an enemy. It's called jihadist Islam. Talk about that, if you would.
Oh, certainly. Well, you know, I stand by every word. Terrorism is not an enemy. Terrorism is a strategy which is used by radical Muslims who support jihad, you know, or holy war, which is what it means, against all non-Muslims. And it even means holy war against less fervent Muslims who disagree with them. So that's what jihad is, and jihad is the enemy. Jihad is an ideological, jihadist Islam is an ideology that seeks to destroy or intimidate everyone other than themselves, other than these radical Muslims. And that's the enemy. Terrorism is just a strategy that they use, but unfortunately, the politicians don't seem to get it. They're afraid to say it. They're afraid to use the word Muslim before terrorist. And terrorism, you can't say we're going to defeat terrorism. Terrorism is a strategy, as I said. And you have to defeat that ideology of radical Islam. And you have to defeat it on many levels, legally, educationally, and in the media.
Mayor Rubin, what is it in the West that seems to compel newsmakers and politicians and people in Hollywood? What is compelling them, and to act as if terrorism is the enemy? Why can't they just simply say what you said, that the enemy is jihadist Islam? What is it in the Western brain that seems appalled whenever anyone uses the word Islam or Muslim when it's talking about terrorism or jihadists?
Well, conservatives are on the defensive, unfortunately. Other than President Trump, the people who are conservative, to a great extent, and I'm not talking about everybody, but they are on the defensive. They're afraid to be criticized and accused of, that unknown illness called Islamophobia. Phobia, for those psychologists and doctors out there, a phobia is something that is an irrational fear. Islamophobia isn't an irrational fear. It's a fear of jihadist Islam, which is very dangerous, which is the most dangerous thing afflicting Judeo-Christian civilization. So, I'm not afraid to say that America was built as a Judeo-Christian nation by the founders of the country, by George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, all of the Thomas Jefferson, all the intellectuals who founded the country. They had a vision. They had a vision of a Christian nation based on the Hebrew Bible. It's rooted in the Hebrew Bible, and they made it very clear. They made that very clear, and that's what it's been.
Yeah.
That's what it's been until recently. Until after the 1960s, a lot of things started to change, and now the left wants something other than Judeo-Christian civilization. They're trying to create some sort of secular, ideology, and that's what they want the country to be based on. Well, so they're against Judeo-Christian civilization, and so are the Muslims for their own reasons, and that's the reason why the left is always cooperating with the Muslim ideologues, with the jihadists, in fact, even though they don't support jihad, really.
Hey, we're talking to Mayor David Rubin. Last question I have, I appreciate you being on with us today. Last question I have is, and this is a question to end with, right, when I ask this one, and that is, these suicide bombers in Sri Lanka, these Islamic jihadists, these were people who, they were men. They fit the demographic for the typical jihadist, ranging from 20 to 30 years of age, typically. They masterminded this. They planned it out. They thought it out. They carried it out. They knew that if they were going to die themselves, to blow up You know, I guess I could understand if they were blowing up an army, okay? Or, you know what I'm saying? But these people went into restaurants, they went into church services with children and people just singing songs and hearing messages. It's Easter Sunday. It's the most holy day for Christians. And they just massacre these people they don't even know, these innocent people who were no threat, no threat to these Muslims at all. They're, in fact, they're a minority. The Christians are a vast minority in the country of Sri Lanka. So I guess my question is, what was the motivation of these Islamic jihadists for doing this?
Well, I just explained the motivation, really. The motivation is to frighten. You know, the whole idea of Islamic terrorism is not just to kill people and not just to wound people, but to intimidate people, to terrorize people.
Why?
Literally.
Why? And terrorize them.
So why? Because they want them to be afraid to speak out about what is really going on behind the scenes, what is going on quietly but very, very vehemently, which is to change the society and do away with all religions other than Islam.
I guess what I'm asking you is, though, beyond that, these individuals who said, yeah, sign me up for blowing myself to smithereens because I want to intimidate those Christians. There has to be more than that. But is there not an afterlife reward for them for doing this in the teaching that they understand, which compels them?
Well, that's what I was about to say.
Okay.
In Sharia law, which is Islamic law, it is very clear that one who is a shaheed, which means a martyr in Islam, one who commits an act of suicide, basically, to further the cause of Islam, is going to go directly to heaven, and he's going to have 700 virgins. And I know this sounds bizarre to most Americans, but that is what that ideology says, that he's going to have 700 virgins that are going to be with him. Now, this is the ideology,
right?
And this is what drives them. So it sounds bizarre, it sounds crazy, but that is what compels them to do the hateful things that they do.
Yeah.
And yes, those people are all innocent, of course.
Yeah.
But they are Christians, and you know, Christians are fair game today, as far as jihadist Islam goes.
David Rubin has been our guest, RUBIN, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and author of the new book called Trump and the Jews. Thank you, Mayor. We look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to Today's Issues. Fred, your thoughts on what the mayor was talking about there?
Well, he's exactly right, and he is an expert on all of this, and he's got a pretty good handle on all of these things. You know, trying to understand the rationale of Islamic terrorism, there isn't a rational explanation for it. It goes back to something you were saying earlier, Ed, when it talks about, you know, what's going on in the synagogues and the attacks. And it's satanic.
Yeah.
It's what it is. It's satanic. And you can't explain it rationally anymore. It is simply satanic. It is Satan's hatred of the Jewish people, which is why these attacks so often occur against Jews. He is living, David Rubin lives in Israel. He lives with this kind of thing every day.
Yeah, but against Christians too.
Oh, against Christians too, yeah. Because we support Israel. Christians, for the most part, support the nation of Israel and the Jewish people.
Well, we want to welcome our next guest.
What word did you just create right there?
Wenchen.
Wow.
I was going to say welcome and mention.
Right,
at the same time.
Sort of blended them. Yeah,
I like to do that.
Maximize your time.
That's right.
Saves time, right?
It usually saves time, but when you guys make a big thing out of it, then it just becomes a big thing. It becomes longer. So I would like to Wenchen and welcome Jonathan Doherty, who's the founder and director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Jonathan, don't mind these guys over here. We want to welcome you to the today's issues.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't mind at all.
Okay. Well, Jonathan, tell us a little bit about Be Broken Ministries and why it exists, because I always thought that Christians don't talk about sex.
Unfortunately, that is true, and that's maybe part of the reason we're experiencing some of the difficulties and the degradation in our culture around issues of sexuality. But our ministry has been around since 2003, and we, for the history of our ministry, have really just been trying to help men and couples understand and live out God's design and purpose for sexuality. And so now a lot of what our ministry does is come alongside leaders, church leaders, lay leaders, community leaders, and be able to help them understand God's design and purpose for sex, and then how do we communicate that and live that out in a gospel-centric way in the culture that we live in.
Well, you know, Jonathan, I guess I was kind of joking about it, but the fact of the matter is I think a good argument could be made for the fact that the reason there is so much sexual confusion in our culture is because the church, for whatever reason, I'm not saying everybody, but the church, by and large, I guess just decided to sit this one out when the sexual revolution hit because, what, was it embarrassing to talk about sex in church or what? Or am I missing something? Do you think that this would have happened if the church had been involved in the discussion or not?
Well, there's a lot of facets to it, and obviously we won't have time in this little segment to unpack all of them, but I think a lot of it has to do with the reality that because the church, for whatever reasons, has been unwilling to talk about it, that means that even within the church, there has not been a safe place for Christians to talk about the very real struggles that they themselves are having with sexual temptation, with pornography, with all the brokenness that can come through sexual abuse, and any number of things that, because there has not been a safe environment for most people within the church to talk about those things, I think that just spills over and says we're just going to kind of put our heads in the sand and not deal with the culture with that either, because then it can feel incredibly hypocritical if we're not talking about it, so therefore we look like these polished, clean, super pure people, at least on the outside, and then when we have to engage the culture and admit, you know what, I actually struggle with temptation, I'm not perfect. And then it feels very hypocritical, and that's one of the biggest attacks that the culture has on many Christians anyway, is hypocrisy.
So what does Be Broken Ministries offer people, and where can people go to, what kind of help will they find with your ministry, and where can they go to get it?
Well, one of the things we're most excited about is we've been doing a lot of work with other ministries in this area, and so we've actually formed the Sexual Integrity Leadership Summit, which is a conference where leaders can come and actually get training. Pastors and counselors and lay leaders, group leaders can get training, and so we're actually going to be in Atlanta this Thursday through Saturday doing that training. And so people can just go to BeBroken.com to find out more information about the leader training that we do, and get all kinds of other resources there as well.
Now, are you going to be traveling the country with these?
Yes. In fact, in 2020, it looks like we're probably going to be in Portland, Oregon, so the northwest okay. region of the United States will be doing the next stuff.
So for any information regarding this, it's at BeBroken.com?
Yes, BeBroken.com is where people can get more information about
this. And you're in Atlanta this coming weekend?
Yes, this okay. week, actually. We're going to be in Atlanta at the end of this week.
Okay. Hey, Jonathan Daughtry, our guest. Jonathan, we'll have you on again real soon. Thank you so much.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.